Manx Radio Sport.
Very good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard here with the team, looking ahead to some of the sporting action taking place on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend, coming up tonight. Just a couple of points separate the top sides in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, and 1 point separates the leading duo in Manx football going into the latest league fixtures. In hockey, league action takes a back seat. We're focusing on the semi-finals of the three mixed cup competitions and just the one fixture in rugby this weekend. Can Vagabonds get that elusive first win of the county's 3ADM season? That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio, taking a look ahead to the latest sporting action on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend over the next hour. But we are, of course, keeping our eyes very much focused on what could be happening overnight with in terms of weather conditions. That aside, though, we're going to take a look at what is currently going ahead on paper this weekend. And we're going to start, as usual, with the footballing side of things. And joining us in the studio is our football correspondent, Tony Meffam. And Tony, it all seems a little bit touch and go at this point with the conditions, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So I was driving in there from Kirkmichael and I was feeling pretty good because the weather seemed to be sort of turning a little bit. But when Beth read out the weather forecast, I thought, oh my word, we're going to have a few problems. And there are quite a few problems out there at the moment with some football pitches, and there's going to be a lot of sort of to and fro tomorrow morning, I think. So just be patient. The FA will be manned and we'll make sure that the information goes out as quick as we can. I'm not too sure you've picked up on one postponement already, Rob. You have. That's good news. But, you know, the rest of them, I just am praying for it, really, because at the moment, I've got about four or five different sets of fixtures for next weekend because we need to get our four for the Railway Cup, and we'll just wait and see how it's going to unfold tonight and certainly tomorrow morning. But a lot of weather coming.
Indeed, fingers crossed. Well, yeah, if you haven't seen it so far throughout today, yellow weather warning has been issued for heavy rain by Ronald's Way Met Office. The whole island expected to be affected. That came into force, that yellow warning for heavy rain, just over half an hour ago at 5 p.m. this evening, and it runs until 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. And this is what the notice from Ronald's Way Met Office says. Another period of rain arriving from the south on Friday evening, turning heavy at times. Rainfall totals 10 to 20 millimetres widely, perhaps locally 25 to 30 millimetres, leading to further surface water flooding in prone places due to quick runoff from already saturated ground and or blocked drainage. There'll also be strong to gale force east-northeast winds with gusts 45 to 55 miles an hour, giving a risk of minor damage in places and bringing additional autumn debris onto the roads from trees. So yes, if you are out and about overnight, until at least that notice ends at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, please do take care. And as Tony mentioned just a moment ago, we do have one confirmed postponement already in Manx football tomorrow. That's in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. The fixture between Foxdale and Ramsey has been called off at Billygo Park. As it stands and as we speak just at this moment, all other games going ahead. But as Tony has quite rightly mentioned, any further updates, if there is indeed any disruption to any of the fixtures tomorrow, we will of course let you know as soon as possible. So let's take a look then, Tony, at what, as it stands, is going to be taking place this weekend. We're going to start in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Things have really been hotting up there, and Corinthians at the top of the table, 6 points clear at the moment, but on a rest week this week, meaning that the likes of Onken, Peel, Laxey and even Rushen United just on the outskirts have the chance to close the gap. Rushen United in fifth, Tony. They're only 2 points off Onken in second, with Peel and Laxey between them. They're heading to Union Mills this weekend.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Rushen last week, I went down with the game with a lot of anticipation. I thought it was going to be a really tough game for Corinthians. Now, I thought it was a game of two halves, and I say that with tongue in cheek because, you know, when I look at it, it was 2-0 to Corinthians with about sort of 2-3 minutes to go before half time. And Rushen had two great chances, so it could have, could have been quite easily have been 2-2, but it didn't happen. And then suddenly Corinthians got another one, so it was 3-0 at half time. And I thought Joe Kelly was superb down that left-hand side for Russian. And just, you know, when you look at the players in front, I just thought Aaron Hawley and others would be able to do something. But start the second half, they conceded the fourth and then went on. And that's very, very unlike Russian. So Russian have got to pull their socks up because they've got a great opportunity here to get in too. And I will let you give you a bit of a scoop, Rob, because it's just been done that the Railway Cup have just found a sponsor. So it's going to be called the Manx Car Store Railway Cup. And a big, big thank you on our behalf because it's a 3-year deal. And in these present times, sponsorship is so, so important to sports. But there's no doubt about it. Russian would love to get into that game. And if they can sort of get into the semi-finals, big, big plus for them. But Union Mills at the moment, they've just got to keep striving away. And I think Ryan Kelly knows that his squad are going to have to try and pull something together to try and stop a good Russian side. I'll give last week's game as a blip, but I think Russian will just come out winners.
We just hear Tony's phone going off in the background.
Apologies, because I've got it on non-ringer.
He's a man in demand.
I've got it on thing, so I don't know what's gone off. Thank you, Ben. Sit on it.
Ben saving us a little bit there from a little bit of embarrassment anyway. Over to Victoria Road and Braddon, who still hover just 1 point above the relegation zone at the moment after 11 games. Just the one win so far. They're coming up against an Ayr United side who are sitting in mid-table in seventh at the moment, Tony.
Yeah, I think when you look at sort of Braddon, they've played 11 for six, and then the two behind them, Old Boys 10 for 5 and Foxdale 9 for 1. Horrible thing to say, but unless Foxdale can make a dramatic change around with their results, it looks as if it's going to be a real struggle for them. So I think it's between Braddon and Douglas High School Old Boys. Now, when you look at Braddon, they've got some really good young players in there. They've got some experienced players in there as well. But Will Smith is just trying to get it to glue together, and it's hard to come by in the Premiership. It really is a tough place to be. As where you look at Ayr United, they've sort of got a really good side. Jamie Callister's pivotal at the back for him, keeps things up nice and tight. Andy Ball in goals, a really good goalkeeper. And then around that, when they've got people like Sean Kelly and others playing, then, you know, Ayr can still mix up at the top. You know, OK, the league table doesn't say that with played 11, 14 points. But they're still good enough to compete. And I think Ayr United will take the points away from Braddon. Now, Braddon's pitch, if it's playable, that will be really sticky because the guys have done a tremendous job over the last couple of years down there. But I don't think there's many top pitchers on the island that can take the sort of weather we've got. So I'm going to go for Ayr to win.
So in the next couple of fixtures here, we're looking at some of the sides pushing, as we've mentioned before, to Corinthians at the top of the table, who are on a rest week this week. So Corinthians, top of the table, 11 played, 27 points. In second, Onchan, 11 played, 21 points. And then crucially beneath them, in third, Peel, 20 points, but only played 9. Laxey, 20 points, only played 9, only behind Peel on goal difference. So Peel bringing themselves back into contention after, by their standards, a bit of a slow start to the season for the defending champions. But they're going to be at home to St Mary's, Tony, and plenty of eyes will be on Peel to try and get that Railway Cup qualification spot. But St Mary's, only 2 points further back.
Yeah, they are. And when you look at Peel, I thought that was a statement last week against St John's. I really thought they were going to sort of struggle in that a little bit with players missing. Now, I don't know if their players are back. I'm looking at Jay Charm, I'm looking at Thomas Brown, but they've covered the cracks really well. And you know what's sort of changed it all, I think, a little bit, is a person that me and you have watched for many years, and that's Daniel Bell. He's come into that sort of squad and just helped the younger players around, and he's just been able to glue them together, which is, you know, fantastic to see. Peel's pitch will be fine. You can throw anything at that and it'll come back. But St Mary's, we know they've got good front runners in Joe Canepa and Owen Canepa. Just depends who's available in the rest of the squad. I know Jack McVeigh will be in there. But I just feel that St Mary's are, again, a side that can beat the top sides. Railway Cup, is it feasible for them? I don't think it is, because I think it's too much to ask. But certainly Peel, with the games in hand and who they've got to play, I think they're looking at it big time, and I expect Peel to take victory.
And a crucial one in terms of Railway Cup qualification takes place at Glen Road, Tony, because Laxey, as we've mentioned, they're taking on Onchan in second, just 1 point between the two sides. But Laxey have two games in hand on their opponents this weekend. I mean, how crucial could this be for either of these sides, particularly if the likes of Russian United and St Mary's, just outside the top four, could be waiting in the wings for one of them to slip up this weekend?
Yeah, I don't think it's a panic stations for Laxey, because Laxey have got games, and when you look at who they've got to play, Rob, they're playing the sides down the bottom. So I think they'll get the points. And I think certainly Johnny Palmer deserves a bit of a pat on the back, I think, because he's had this sort of squad of players, apart from Ed Canner, he's had this squad for quite a while. And I think they've underachieved. I really do. And, you know, I think Johnny's got it right this year, whatever he's doing, because I think the Premiership is slightly stronger. And he's coming out with good results, but certainly against Onchan, their form has dipped a little bit. I know Tom Crear's been missing, so if he starts tomorrow, that'll be a massive plus. And I just think one or two players have sort of dropped off. One or two players haven't been available, and that's caused their big problems. Onchan would love to get in the semi-finals. I'd love them to get into the semi-finals, because they've shown that, and they're not a small club, but a club that's building strength every year. They've just shown that this is another step what they're achieving so far, and they're second in the league. Okay, they're 6 points behind the top side, but I just think tomorrow is going to be a little bit too much for them, and I expect Laxey to win this one, and that sort of will seal them, I think, into the semi-finals.
And the one remaining tie in the Canada Life Men's Premier League this weekend, Douglas High School Old Boys, second from bottom, but only 1 point from safety at the moment. They'll be hosting St John's United.
Yeah, and I think St John's will be happy enough the way things are going. Okay, last week didn't go to plan, but player-wise, they're pretty well at full strength. I think Sam Ingham's injured, so he'll miss out at the back, so they've got a problem in that one. But, you know, when you look at Callum Taggart in there, you've got Andrew Chadwick, who's been playing really well. Joe Savage as well is a really good player. But Liam Sale starts, and he can score plenty of goals. So with those sort of players there, I just feel that it might be a strong day for St John's. But I'll tell you what, Rob, it was a horrendous night on Wednesday night, but I witnessed one of the best under-18 football games I've seen in all my time I've been involved in Manx football. I thought Corinthians and Old Boys went to battle. We knew it was going to be a battle, but Old Boys was superb. Yes, there are two or three players there that don't actually play for them because they can dual register, but just the style of play of the Old Boys players was brilliant. And they won 2-1. Corinthians give it a real good go in the second half, but if those players can show that performance who are registered for Old Boys in the first team game tomorrow, then they could make it difficult for St John's, but I will go for St John's.
Very well. And just a reminder as well that the another game that was meant to take place in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Foxdale versus Ramsey, that game this weekend.
And it's got a second game for you as well, Rob, and that's Onchan against Laxey in combination one. That has gone as well.
Okay, yeah, well, when we get
Waterlog
to those
pitch.
Okay, so we have two games, thank you, Tony, that have already been postponed this weekend. So if you just missed that, in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, one game off already between Foxdale and Ramsey. And as Tony has just mentioned in the last few moments, Onchan versus Laxey in Canada Life combination one tomorrow has been postponed. Ardonagh and Drogheda Limited, Division 2, four games there this weekend, and the two sides at the top, two southern rivals, are still battling away for supremacy at the top of the table. Castletown leading the way on 24 points after nine games. Just in behind them, a point further back on 23, are Colby, but having played a game more. We're going to start with Colby because they have a potentially tricky task in a southern derby elsewhere. They're due to head to Clackvane to take on Maloo.
I'm glad you picked up on that one because, you know, Maloo, if they've got their, you know, real strongest team out, they can compete with anyone, as we've already seen this season, but it just depends who's available. When you look at people that they've got there, Dean Kinley, they've got Paddy Cooper, they've got the Krippner brothers, you know, they really are a force in front of goal. Defensively, they've got to keep nice and solid, but against Colby know this is going to be tough, and they're just looking at the league table and saying, we can't do any more, all we can do is keep winning. Hopefully Castletown will drop points somewhere along the line, but at the moment they're a point behind, played a game more, so certainly this one they don't really want to drop any points. And we know the main threat, Carl Hickey's huge for them, scoring goals. He did it again last week, and if they can impose themselves, Maloo, on a player like that, then they've got a big opportunity. But they have to stay disciplined, don't get involved in any sort of pushing and shoving, and they might just get something, but it's going to be tough. I'll go for Colby.
And Castletown, they're on the road as well. And on paper, at least, Tony, this doesn't look like a straightforward task either, because they're heading to third place, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. And Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, 5 points off the pace of Colby in second at the moment, but they have played a game less as well. So for Castletown, statistically at least, this certainly doesn't seem a clear-cut case.
A gimme, and it isn't a gimme, because Ramsey Centre and Old Boys have started to climb up the table. They do have that sort of game in hand on Colby, played the same games as Castletown. But Ramsey Ussent have, you know, got a really good team in there. I know there's one or two key players missing for them at the moment. I'm sure Matt Kelly is trying to suss out what he can do to exploit Castletowns. And, you know, I was speaking to one or two players last week, you know, just about Castletown. What's the difference? Alex Crawley certainly is the difference, and he's staying on his toes as well. He's fit and getting stuck in and scoring plenty. And then when you look across the board, they're just a group of players who are mates, playing really well, enjoying themselves. And, you know, when you've got facilities like they've got down there and playing on that sort of pitch, then, you know, you can understand why they're doing so well. Ramsey Centre's pitch, tight. It's going to be really sort of tight down there. And the school pitch, when it's had water, can sort of cause one or two problems. But I just think Castletown will prove too strong, and Gary Sansby's team will go on and win it.
Elsewhere, Governors Athletic, one of two teams still searching for their first win of the season. They're second from bottom at the moment, only above Douglas and District, who are also winless on virtue of goal difference. They're going to be hosting Paul Rose United, Tony. And now, 9 games in for Paul Rose United, had a blinding start to the season, but just seems to have dropped off the pace a little bit of those at the top.
Yeah, I think, you know, they come across some tough teams of late, but they still sort of stayed involved. And you can't forget that they had that really good performance against Castletown. But I think what Paul Rose have got to do is just, you know, maybe go back to basics. And when they're playing against the teams that they think they can get somewhere out, is just players that should be played, you know, on the deck, instead of maybe trying to open them up over the top. But Governors Athletic, this will be played up at St Ninian's School, which is top of Bray Hill there. And I would say that that pitch, you know, with the weather that we've had as well, must be doubtful. But they'll inspect it in the morning, keep us posted how it goes. But I'm going to go for Paul Rose to win.
And the fourth and final game in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 this week, and his two sides are still searching for more points towards the bottom, because St George is in 8th, just the one win from 8 so far for them. They're travelling to Douglas and District, who are bottom. They're winless in their opening 11, just the one point so far. Tony, for both of these sides, how much of a confidence boost could it give to be taking maximum points from one or the other?
Huge, and I think it's, you know, transition. Well, it's massive transition for you know, St George's, when you look at them, where they were, where they are, the players that they've got out there. But, you know, Carl Garland's doing a really good job in there, and, you know, he's got the club upbeat. But it's really hard. As for D&D, I think, you know, they've been caught out a little bit. They've lost one or two players at the start of the season who have transferred. But it's allowing the young lads to come through, and Dave Matheson, Stato, brings all these reports in on a Saturday of a new player that's come in and scored a goal on his debut. And, you know, that's great to see, and that's what Douglas and District deserve, because they put so much effort into junior football and still chipping away with the sort of seniors. The pitch is, you know, going to be, you know, a turning point for them as well, because that's all just been redone and levelled. And, you know, if that's up and playing, I would say in 2 years' time or 18 months, then that'll sort of put a big sort of push on for the club as well. But both sides are going to battle. I think St George's might just edge it, but D&D, it would be great to see them get a point, and maybe a draw would be a fair result.
A quick look then at the Combination Leagues, looking at Canada Life Combination 1. Again, if you've not long joined us, we were due to have 6 games in Canada Life Combination 1 tomorrow. We are now down to 5, and that is because we learnt in the last couple of minutes that Onken versus Laxey has been postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. But nevertheless, as it stands, still 5 games due to go ahead. And just a quick reflection on what it looks like at the top of the table in Combination 1. Ramsey leading the way with 23 points after 9 games. Corinthians 2 points further back after 9 games on 21. And then completing the top 3 at the moment is Rushen United, 20 points, but haven't played a game more. They've played 10. So, Tony, take us through the 5 fixtures that we're due to have in Canada Life Combination 1.
Certainly can. Rushen against Uni Mills. I've got to go for Rushen, even though they lost last week. They're still 3rd in the league. Good team there of, again, youth and experience, but I think they'll be too strong for Uni Mills. Ayr against Braddon. I'm going to go for Braddon, maybe just to sneak this one. I know Ayr United have been struggling for one or two players due to injury. Ramsey against Foxdale. When you look at the league table, top against bottom, you have to go with Ramsey, but there must be doubt on that pitch. But, you know, again, the boys did a lot of work during the summer, so they might just get away with it. So you have to go for Ramsey there for a win. St Mary's against Peel, no problem on this one. This is being played at the Bowl, 1:45 kickoff. And what a game this is going to be, because Peel sort of back in the stride now of football. St Mary's just below them in the league. I'm going to go for Peel to win. St John's against Douglas High School Old Boys. I think in that game, St John's will just prove too strong. And as we already touched on, Onken against Laxey, that has been postponed due to a waterlogged pitch at Onken Stadium.
Indeed, and just the reminder, as usual, the games kicking off at the earlier time now, as they will do throughout the winter, at 2 o'clock, with the exception of one of the ones that Tony's mentioned, St Mary's versus Peel and Canadive combination one, starting off slightly earlier this weekend at 1:45. And in terms of the action on Saturday, take a look at Ardern and Drogheda Limited combination two to round things up. And this league, again, just a quick reflection on the table, is the only league at the moment across the men's senior divisions with a side that still has a perfect record, and that is Pulrose United. 10 wins from 10, phenomenal season so far. Their nearest competitors, Douglas Athletic, in second, are 5 points further back after 10 games, going well themselves. And then Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys on 22 points, 3 points further back after just 8 games, making up the top three. 6 games in combination two this weekend, Tony.
Certainly is. And Colby against Maloo. We've got to go for Colby in this one. Colby fifth in the league on 14 points. And Maloo are on sort of sixth, third from bottom. So Colby to win. Castletown against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. They're a team to watch, Rob. They always are strong in combination two. And if you say the 2 games in hand they've got, and they take the 6 points, then they go on 28, and that put them 2 points below Pulrose. So I've got to go for Ramsey Youth Centre. Pulrose against Governors. Pulrose, as you say, flying. And, you know, I keep saying about people, when you see a club that was really struggling 3 years ago, Pulrose, and now when you see where they are, that just shows you what a bit of hard work can be done, and, you know, commitment from the committee and the players as well. A lot of them had left and have come back, and credit to you all for where you are at the moment. St George's against Douglas and District. Douglas and District be hoping to win the points, but I just think St George's, even though the bottom of the league, might be a little bit too strong for them. We've got Douglas Athletic against Douglas Royal. As you rightly say, Douglas Athletic second in the league and only lost that one game. I'll go for them to beat Douglas Royal. And Moran against Michael. You know, Michael, you know, finding it tough going as well. Moran, a lot stronger, fourth in the league with 19 points. I'm going to go for Moran.
So those are Saturday's fixtures. 2 o'clock kickoffs, with one exception, the 1:45 in combination one between St Mary's and Peel. Just very quickly, Tony, look, take a look to Sunday. We have a trio of fixtures due to take place in the latest round of the Canadive Women's Floodlit Cup.
Yeah, second set of fixtures now for the Floodlit Cup. And Douglas Royal against Maloo, close to each other, sort of as in, you know, how it went on grass. But I'm going to go for Maloo to win this one. Peel against Rushen. We know there's two standout sides in this league, but, you know, Rushen are going to get stronger and stronger every week. And they sort of really impressed a lot of people so far in this season. It's great to see when it's their first one back in the league. But I've got to go with Peel. Corinthians against Union Mills, similar sort of story to sort of, you know, new clubs coming in like Rushen. They've just got to keep learning. I know it's 35 minutes each way, so it helps a little bit, but it is a massive pitch down there at the bowl. And that one kicks off at 5, but I've got to go for Corinthians.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you very much. And I think it might be wise to pack your wellies for tomorrow's games, potentially.
Manx Radio Sport.
Meanwhile, this week, the Isle of Man is playing host to the final round of this year's International Pool Association Series. The IPA Grand Finals are being held at the Comus Hotel until Sunday. After two amateur events, tournaments on Wednesday and Thursday, today is marking the start of the Grand Finals themselves, including some of the top professional players from across the UK and beyond. And it's certainly not the first time the finals have taken place on Manx shores. The Isle of Man's only professional pool competitor, David Adnall, and IPA Secretary Bronwyn Ward explain what this tournament means for both the top players and the amateurs looking to put themselves on the map in the sport.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. It's always been a great event and very, very popular with the locals as well. It's great for the locals to have a taste of an event like this. And I do it, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a year. And it's great for them to have a go at it as well.
And do you think this will be able to maybe put a few local players as well onto the pool map, I suppose, a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have quite a few good players over in the Isle of Man. So, you know, that's exactly always been my goal, to try and get other players on the IPA as well. And been doing it to try and put the Isle of Man on the pool map, so to speak. And as you say, so it's something I'd like to see other players do, because we certainly do have other quality players that can certainly do that.
And who would you say are maybe the top competitors that you'll be challenging against?
There's so many great players, but the top two that stand out is Liam Dunster, pro number one, and Mark Boyle, the pro number two. They definitely pick up a lot of titles between them, and, you know, they're the top guys to catch.
So we start the event with like a kind of mini festival over the Wednesday and the Thursday, which basically is more casual events that we hold for the locals, really. Then we start our events proper on Friday. 6 events over the course of the weekend. There'd be One for professional and one for the elite ladies. We'd have an amateur event for the amateur ladies and the amateur men. And then they both have open event. They started 12:30 on Friday, played all over the weekend and culminate with the open final then on the Sunday.
Being on the Isle of Man as well, how good is this competition for amateurs getting into the sport, for professionals testing themselves against other competitors at their level? How good is that? Is this competition for that?
Being on the Isle of Man, it gives the local islanders who play pool, and I think there's quite a prevalent pool community on the Isle of Man, and we do get lots of local entries into the event, into the main event. So in that respect, it does give more amateur players from the island a taste of how events are run, and they get an opportunity to sort of watch out professional players and learn from them as they go, really. Everybody, when we come at the islands, everybody's very welcoming to us, which is good. And like I say, we're in a new venue, it comes to Commerce Hotel, and everybody here has been amazing in accommodating us and are looking forward to us holding the event here. And I think over the years, more and more people enjoy coming to the Isle of Man. Because like I say, it does give people an opportunity to bring their families, you know, to just come over on the ferry on a car and do a tour of the island and things like that. So it's not just a pool tournament event then.
How good is it, you know, have this competition on the Isle of Man, but then there's also a professional Isle of Man pool player as well involved in this competition?
Yeah, well, I think it kind of rewards Dave for he has been a professional pool player for a long time, and he has travelled the length and breadth of the UK. Always traveling himself on his own from the island. And we all know that sometimes can be a bit difficult getting on and off the island. But he has done that for a long time. And I think he is, as a person himself, he's very proud that the IPA, which is obviously the recognised professional body for the sport, can come to the island. And so he can show his compatriots then exactly how much progress has been. Because people, you know, there are amateurs who sort of have always been amateurs and then they progress. You know, he can show them how that is done, really, and how he progressed to become a professional player.
That was IPA Secretary Bronwyn Ward, and before that, Isle of Man professional pool player David Adnall on the 2025 IPA Grand Finals. They're being held at the Comus Hotel in Santon until Sunday. And of course, there's a selection, as we've just heard, of amateur Isle of Man players that have been getting involved across the respective tournaments as well. So scores of local competitors and no doubt spectators getting themselves onto the Comus Hotel this weekend. Well, coming up in the programme, we're going to be taking a look at the one rugby game taking place. And in hockey, league action takes a back seat and it's cup action that is going to take the spotlight. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio, turning our attention to rugby now, and just the one game taking place this weekend as many teams actually take a little bit of a break while the Autumn International Series is going on, or the Quilter Nations Series to give it its formal name as it stands at the moment. But the one rugby game taking place on the Isle of Man is one that should have taken place several weeks ago before the weather scuppered previous plans, and it comes in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire. Vagabonds are back on home soil for what will be the first of five games on home soil in a row in the division, and still searching for their first win of the season. Statistically, this could be an interesting clash. They're up against a Duckenfield side who've had a similar start to the season. Let's take a look at things as ever is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. And Dave, from a Vagabonds perspective, how much of a chance have they got in this one compared to the previous challenging ties at the start of the season?
Yeah, to be honest, Rob, it's a great weekend for them. We know that the Nations Series is on and England play the All Blacks. The clubs in the Isle of Man are all part of the English Rugby Union. And that means that all the clubs get an allocation of tickets. So there's a possibility that any club as part of the English Rugby Union will be depleted this weekend, depending on how many tickets they picked up. And, of course, Duckenfield have to make the journey to the Isle of Man as well, which historically has not always gone so well for them. And, of course, we know statistically as well that the team playing at home generally has an advantage and it's worth a few points. Vagabonds have played Duckenfield 26 times over the years. They're ahead 13-12 on wins, although the last meetings, which are at the tail end of last season, where one ended up in a big defeat for Vagabonds, they lost 69-8 away at Duckenfield. That was on the 22nd of March. But on the 8th of February, they played them at Bella Fletcher and won 29-15. So there is a little bit of a yin and yang, I guess, with the home and away an advantage. And Duckenfield not had the best of starts either this season, but they have won two out of the last five, whereas Vega's best result is last week's draw away at Hoylake, which was credible in itself. Hoylake a little bit further up the table than Vega's. And, of course, Hoylake were at home as well. So picking up 2 points off anybody away from home is always a bit of an achievement. So home advantage, it's up at Bella Fletcher to 1:30 kickoff. We weren't sure what time it's going to kick off earlier on in the week, but it's been confirmed it's a 1:30 kickoff there at Bella Fletcher tomorrow. And of course, Vagabonds have a Melia as well later on there tomorrow night. So all hands will be there, I would imagine. We should have a big and partisan touchline. It's going to be very difficult for Duckenfield. However, with what we're seeing in certainly in counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, is that historic departure where we've seen over 30 Lancashire clubs leave the league set up in 2018 and 2019. Not that many have come back. And what it meant is that the clubs that have remained there, particularly at the bottom end where Ramsey and Vagabonds are in places a little bit too strong. And we've seen that with some of the results away from home. But Vagas, no team news as yet, but that's not unusual. We sometimes don't see a team from Vagabonds till perhaps a little bit later on the Friday night. No team news from Duckenfield either, so we can't get a comparison over whether or not they're going to bring their better side. But they're not too far away from Manchester Airport. Isn't a big travel distance for them. But what they do find is it's quite an early start and they're getting home late. And that can deter players, particularly those with families, from travelling. However, we have also been through that many, many times before. So it's a factor that everybody knows about and they do their best to overcome. Vagabonds got the forward pack to do it. There's some big players in there. And Harry Goodwin and Ed Knight, the couple they've had from Western Vikings, have been doing a great job for them in there. Put them in with some of the Vagas regulars. They're good enough to win ball. They're good enough to win ball and get a bit of go forward. And with the back line they have, Cam Finley, Dan Bonwick outside the scrummage, they're always going to pose danger for teams in defence. So Vagabonds, great chance for them to pick up some points and hopefully pick up 5 points. And that'll lift them clear of the bottom end of the table, where Ramsey are firmly anchored. And Ramsey play Vagabonds on the 29th of November, which is going to be a corker up there at the Merrick Park. That'll be a 2:15 kickoff, and we'll be there to cover that one for Saturday Live.
Yeah, just to add some figures onto what Dave's saying there about the two Alaman teams at the bottom of County 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire at the moment. Vagabonds second from bottom, Ramsey are bottom. And Vagabonds as well, Dave, although their defensive record is rather respectable in the league at the moment, they are the lowest scorers, 89 points scored, excluding try bonus points. So what, if anything, could be done to try and change that a little bit this weekend?
There's not a lot, to be honest, Rob. I mean, yeah, the 89, I suspect they only need to score, I think, one or 2 points tomorrow, and they'll be ahead of Ramsey statistically in all departments.
Maybe two points, yeah. Ramsey on 90 at the moment.
Yeah, there's not that much really that can be done. I mean, even when you look further up the table, Colin and Nelson have only got 114. So the teams that aren't doing so well are kind of all sort of lumped together there. And it doesn't take much to turn that around, particularly if the likes of Colin and Nelson or Duckenfield come to the Isle of Man a little bit undercooked. They've not got their strongest side here. And Isle of Man side does put out their strongest. There's a real chance for picking up points. We're getting close to the season as well, where this is part of the season where this league's going to split. There's 14 teams in it. The RFU don't like 14-team leagues, but this is the bottom league, so we've got what we've got. So what's going to happen is everybody will play each other once, and those games will come to conclusions somewhere around the end of January. And then after that, the league's going to split into two parts. And depending on where you are at the end of part one, will determine whether you're in the upper or lower part. I suspect we're going to see Ramsey and Vagabonds both in the lower part, when the split occurs. And when that split does occur, everybody in each of those two separate mini leagues will play each other once as well. As I understand it, there's no home and away. The games will be done on random selection. The RFU system, the fixture system, has a button there for a fixture secretary to press that says generate random fixtures. And you can't really take into account who played who home and away in the earlier part of the season. So it's possible that Ramsey Vagabonds could meet each other again, and they could meet each other again at the Mirrick Park. But I'm sure Ramsey will have no problem with switching the reverse fixture up to Bella Fletcher to make it even Stevens for both sides. We could do that locally, but we can't necessarily do that with the visiting sides. So, Duckenfield, I imagine, will be flying in on around about 9:30. The return flight, if they're not going to stay overnight, is off the top of my head at 5:30, the last flight back to Manchester on a Saturday. So hence the early kickoff. That'll give them time to get back to the airport to get away. Fingers crossed for Vagabonds. The ladies were really good last week. I watched Vagabonds ladies in their game against Winnington Park. Sadly, they didn't quite do enough to win, but it was a belter of a game. Winnington Park raced into a big lead, and then Vagabonds ladies pegged them back and pegged them back and pegged them back. And in the end, there was only 5 points in it, but it was a great effort from them, a great atmosphere up there at the club, and hopefully we'll see something similar tomorrow at that 1:30 kickoff.
And just very quickly, Dave, just while I've got you for just 60 seconds here, you've mentioned it again, you've mentioned it a few times of players from other clubs coming to help each other out when maybe they're short of players or needed for particular fixtures. How has that system been working at the start of the season now? All of the Ireland teams are several games in.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is Ramsey, Douglas and Vagabonds have to comply with league regulations. So you can't do anything that's not provided for in the regulations. Informally, in the Hartford Holmes Bank Shield, it's fair play. Anybody can swap around. Douglas is a little bit different. They is a formal RFU registration system that their players have to go through. And that means that there has to be a more formal transfer system if the players want to play anywhere else. But Ramsey and Vagabonds, because they're a couple of divisions down, they're able to be a little bit more flexible, and players are able to be dual registered, so you don't have to necessarily go through this transfer system. Ramsey have had Dewan Collister and Harvey Collister come up from Western Vikings, and of course, Vagabonds have had Ed Knight, Harry Goodwin, I think Tom Randall's been in there as well. Those guys are helping out when they can, and also committed to their clubs at the same time. So it's a difficult loyalty split, I would guess, is the best way to describe it. But in practice, it works out reasonably easy. The RFU regulations are quite simple to not get around, but to comply with, apart from Douglas, who have got that extra level of administration. Because they're at a higher level in the game, they've got to comply with the regulations more fully. But apart from that, everything's working fine.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much indeed. Our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian, there, head of Vagabonds versus Duckenfield this weekend. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. We'll be taking a look at the cup action in mixed Manx hockey that's coming up. And also we'll be hearing from a Manx mixed martial arts competitor who's recently become a double European champion. Back in a moment.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning to Manx hockey now, and as the leagues, the Isle of Man mixed leagues, enter the crunch phase of their respective seasons, they are taking a little bit of a backseat this weekend because the attention is turning the focus back to cup action, the semi-final stage of the mixed cup, mixed plate and mixed bowl, with just the one rearranged league fixture thrown in as well. So plenty of teams eyeing a place in the respective finals. To take a look through what's to come this weekend is our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. So Ben, it really is the business end of the mixed cup campaign.
Absolutely, semi-final stage, so all to play for. I think some really close ties, and yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who makes them final spots come tomorrow evening.
Indeed, so we've got the semi-finals of the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate and Mixed Bowl. In the Mixed Cup, both games will be taking place at the NSC in Douglas, and the first to push back will be at 12:35, and that is going to see Backers A, who have been rampant so far in their push to defend the Mixed Premier League title. 8 wins from 8, scoring 55 goals. They're coming up against second placed in the Mixed Premier League table, Valkyries A, who are 4 points further back, 6 wins from 8. And Ben, there's we've got to say about Valcaise, they're having a strong season themselves, but Bacaze have just been relentless at this point.
Absolutely. Valcaise are having a better season than they did last year, and something they'll definitely be happy about. But as you say, Rob, Bacaze, 55 goals scored, 10 conceded so far this season in the league. And you compare that to Valcaise, who have only scored 21 goals but conceded 14. So it's going to be a tough ask against a very strong Bacaze side for sure. But Valcaise probably could give them a run for their money here. And Valcaise did last weekend go and beat Castletown Celts, but it was only by a narrow margin.
Yeah, and of course, we are in cup competition as well. So occasionally we do see it that league form can go out the window, but Bacaze are looking extremely difficult to stop at the moment. In the other Mixed Cup semi-final tomorrow, 2:05 pushback at the NSC. Castletown Celts, they also having a strong season as well. They're third in the Mixed Premier League table at the moment, up against a Vikings B side that are bottom of the league standings, Ben, but into the semi-final of the Mixed Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they played Castletown Southerners in the first round, Vikings B. And yeah, they came away with the win there. Castletown Celts, though, you would favour them over Vikings B looking at the league positions. But as you said before, Rob, league positions, league stats could all go out the window when it comes down to the cup, because in the cup, when you play for one team, that's the team you are assigned to. So as much as sometimes you see players playing two games, they can only be eligible to play for one team in the cup.
Yeah, whereas in the league as well, there is a little bit of movement that you can have between respective teams.
Absolutely.
Within your club. There isn't that, as you say, in the cup competitions. Turning to the mixed plate semi-finals, both games taking place in the west of the island at QE2 in Peel. 12:35 pushback now, Ben. This could be a really interesting one because it's a meeting of the top two in mixed Division 1, Bacaze and Ramsey A.
Yeah, and we were talking about this game off air, Rob, and we were just saying that Bacaze have really found great form this season. But Ramsey A, considering they had a slow start, they really have found their form now. And we were just saying before, in the first round, Ramsey A were 4-0 down against Valcaise C in the first round. And then they came back from 4-0 down to take it to Flicks. And Ramsey A then obviously progressed on to the semi-finals, winning on Flicks. So, could Ramsey cause an upset here?
There's only two points separating them as well in the league, with Bacaze at the top. Elsewhere, it looks quite closely matched on paper, but in the other semi-final, it's at 2:05 at QE2, Harlequins B versus Valcaise B. Valcaise B and Harlequins third and fourth in the table, respectively, only separated by one point here. There's two, statistically at least, two close semi-finals on paper here.
Absolutely. Both these fixtures are really close. Of course, Harlequins have played Valcaise B twice already this season in the league, and Harlequins have came away with both wins both times. So I'm sure if Valcaise B will want to try and get one back and take that final spot away from Harlequins and end them possibly getting a third straight win there. But Harlequins B, they were in the bowl final last year. How would they love to cap that off and get into the plate final this year?
And then we move on to the Mixed Bowl semi-finals. Again, just a reminder for the format here. So the Mixed Cup features teams from the Mixed Premier League. The Mixed Plate features teams from Mixed Division 1. However, the Mixed Bowl is a mixture of teams from both Mixed Division 2 and Mixed Division 3. And we've got a cross between the two leagues in one of the semi-finals tomorrow. Both semi-finals at Castle Rushen High School in the south of the island. 12:35 pushback, and that is Vikings D, who are second in Mixed Division 2, I should say, coming up against Valcaise D, who are the leaders in Mixed Division 3. Intriguing.
Absolutely, and I mean, just looking at the times here, you've got, Rob, this game actually is the 2:05 game, not the 12:35 game. The 12:35 game we're going to come to in a minute. But yeah, Vikings D and Valcaise D, this is going to be a thrilling game. Both these teams have pretty much had the same season. I mean, you look in Division 2, Vikings D, they've won 6, lost 2. And then for Valcaise D, they have won 7 and lost 1. But both sides, for Valcaise D, 39 goals scored, 3 against. And then for Vikings D, it's 36 goals scored, 6 conceded. So Both squads can score goals, but whose defence is going to come out on top on the day?
A very similar record. So yes, just as Ben's pointed out there, that Vikings D versus Valkyries D at Castle Russian High School, that is actually the later of the two pushbacks. That's at 2:05. The one before that, 12:35, a Castletown Derby, and it's a mixture of two Castletown mixed division two sides, top versus bottom, with Castletown Camags facing Castletown Cosney.
Yeah, Camags are looking really strong this season. They've been going from strength to strength. Cosney, at the minute, currently bottom of mixed division two. But, of course, it's very tight in this division. I mean, the top two are only separated by 1 point. And then the bottom three in mixed division two are only separated by 2 points. You've got Ramsey Ravens on 5 points, Castletown Cushags on four, and Castletown Cosney on three. So the pin very, it's going to be a very close game, but you'd favour Camags to come out on top.
So those are the respective cup semi-finals tomorrow. Just the one rearranged league fixture, one that was postponed from not too long ago, and that's in Mixed Division 3, a 3:35 pushback at the NSC, and that sees an interclub derby as Backers Mixed Books in second in Mixed Division 3 take on Backers D, third in Mixed Division 3.
Yeah, and Backers Mixed Books got the better of the D team last time they played each other in the league. Of course, this fixture was meant to play last weekend, but it got cancelled because of players being away with the Ireland junior squad. So it'll be interesting to see how this one comes out, because I would have thought Backers Mixed Books were the lower team, but my facts could be wrong here.
Anyway, Ben, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Finally tonight, in recent times, mixed martial arts competitors on the Isle of Man have been making a name for themselves at junior and senior level, both in the UK and further afield. And this last month or so has been no exception. Manx fighter Hayley Curtis of Summit Grappling Academy was crowned a double European champion at the end of October at the IBJJF European No-Gi Championships in Rome. What's more, her sharp rise in the sport means she's now ranked among the world's best in the divisions she competes in. And she spoke with me today to explain that her recent victory hasn't come easy, and it's been a challenging last 12 months for her as an athlete.
It's kind of following the sort of the upward trajectory I've been on. I thought I'd have a decent chance, but obviously it wasn't like guaranteed. But with coming back from injury, we weren't even sure if I was going to be even in the open weight category, because it all just depended how I felt afterwards. So to go on and win that as well was very much a surprise, a good surprise.
Within what you can tell us, could you just explain a bit of the challenges of some of the injuries you've had and how you've been able to manage them to do the events that you have done?
I got injured the day before I left to travel to the Europeans last year, and that's my favourite kind of competition of the year, so I was absolutely gutted to miss it. And I spent the next sort of 6 months injured. Coming back briefly, where I competed in February, got injured again with a different injury, came back in May and I competed then, got injured quite badly in that competition by an opponent, and have just gone back after 5 months out with a knee injury. So it's been a long year of having time out, having to actually rehab properly and try and keep other things up like my fitness. It's been a challenge, but I've not done too bad, I don't think.
It shows obviously incredible discipline on your behalf as well, both physically and mentally. What kind of support have you had from the likes of, you know, Summit Grappling and other people around you to kind of make sure that you're staying on the right track within what you yourself are already doing?
Yeah, so as part of my kind of training regime, I do the strength and conditioning programs. I've obviously had my physio on board as well with my rehab, making it specific to the sport, and trying to keep on top of my nutrition and stuff and just manage the rest of it where I can, and then adapt my training as I was coming back. But also increased extra coaching, prepping other people for competitions to keep my eye in as well as help other people out.
And looking forward now, of course, people will have seen and read about and heard about some of the successes that you've had over the last couple of years. Just to put it into context, again, for those who maybe don't know the system and the processes, where does this leave you at the moment in both the European and international rankings and, I suppose, divisions, if you like, because you've really climbed the ladder in the last few years?
Yeah, for my specific division, I'm ranked second in the world at the minute, and across my sort of belt and age, but across all weights within that, I am ranked fourth in the world at the minute.
What plans have you, Hayley, got coming up in the next few months?
Personally, for me, my next one is Worlds in Vegas next month. Wasn't originally on the plan, but after doing better than expected at Euros, it'd be rude not to give it a go.
That was Alavan Mixed Martial Arts competitor and Summit Grappling Academy member Hayley Curtis, who was recently crowned a double European champion at the IBJJF European No-Gi Championships in Rome, going from strength to strength in the last couple of years. And as we've just been hearing as well, starting to move into the top rankings for her particular divisions across the sport at the moment. That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Thank you very much for joining us, as always. Do take care as well, again, of that yellow weather warning for heavy rain, now in force until 3 in the morning if you are out and about. And if you missed anything on this episode, it'll be available as a podcast in the later this evening. Thank you. Bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.